way, if anyone here is in advertising or marketing, kill yourself.
Anarchism is not bombs, disorder, or chaos. It is not robbery and murder. It is not a war of each against all. Anarchists stand for anarchy, anti-capitalism, anti-racism, anti-authoritarianism, internationalism, autonomy, direct democracy, ecology, self-organization, solidarity, anti-fascism, anti-neoliberalism, anti-nationalism, atheism, equality, and freedom.
Tune in to Subversion 1312, the 4ZZZ Anarchy Show.
Tuesday from 9 till 10 p.m. on 102.1 FM or streaming 4ZZZFM.org.au.
How about trying this future on for size? How about trying this future on for size? How about trying this future on for size?
Good evening. You are listening to Subversion 1312. I'm Linda, and you're not going to hear much from me tonight as I've put together an anarchist mix for the next hour. So crank the stezza and enjoy. Of course, starting off with William S. Burroughs' A Junkie's Christmas, as is our Yuletide tradition. Subversion 1312 comes at you live from 4ZZZ Radio in Fortitude Valley, Brisbane, Australia, 102.1 FM or streaming, and on demand at 4ZZZFM.org.au. Podcast on Radio for All, Autonomous Action Radio, and the Channel Zero Network of Global Anarchist Podcasts.
Christmas Day, and Daddy the car wiper hit the street junk sick and broke after 72 hours in a precinct cell. It was a clear, bright day, but there was no warmth in the sun. Daddy shivered with an inner cold. He turned up the collar of his worn, greasy black overcoat. This beat Benny wouldn't pawn for a deuce, he thought. It was in the West 90s. A long block of brownstone rooming houses. Here and there, a holly wreath in a clean black window. Danny's senses registered everything sharp and clear with the painful intensity of junk sickness. The light hurt his dilated eyes. He walked past a car, darting his pale blue eyes sideways in quick appraisal. There was a package on the seat, and one of the ventilator windows was unlocked. Danny walked on 10 feet, no one in sight. He snapped his fingers and went through a pantomime of remembering something and wheeled around. No one. Bad setup, he decided. Speaking empty like this, I stand out conspicuous. Gotta make it fast. He reached for the ventilator window. A door opened behind him. Danny whipped out a rag and began polishing the car windows. He could feel the man standing behind him. What are you doing? Danny turned as if surprised. Oh, just thought your car windows needed polishing, mister. The man had a frog face and a deep south accent. He was wearing a camel's hair overcoat. My car don't need polishing, nothing stole out of it neither. Danny slid sideways as the man grabbed for him. I wasn't looking to steal nothing, mister. I'm from the South, too, Florida. Goddamn sneaking thief. Danny walked away fast and turned a corner. Better get out of the neighborhood. That hick is likely to call the law. He walked 15 blocks, sweat running down his body. It was a raw ache in his lungs. His lips drew back off his yellow teeth in a snarl of desperation. I got a score somehow, if I had some decent clothes. Daddy saw a suitcase standing in a doorway. Good leather. He stopped and pretended to look for a cigarette. Funny, he thought. No one around. Inside, maybe, phoning for a cab. The corner was only a few houses away. Danny took a deep breath and picked up the suitcase. He made the corner, another block, another corner. The case was heavy. I got a score, all right, he thought. Maybe enough for a 16th in a room. Danny shivered and twitched, feeling a warm room and heroin emptying into his veins. Let's have a quick look. He stepped into Morningside Park. No one around. Jesus, I never saw the town this empty. He opened the suitcase. Two long packages in brown wrapping paper. He took one out. It felt like meat. He tore the package open at one end, revealing a woman's naked foot. The toenails were painted with purple-red polish. He dropped the leg with a sneer of disgust. Holy Jesus, he exclaimed. The routines people put down these days. Legs! Well, I got a case anyway. He dumped the other leg out. No bloodstains. He snapped the case shut and walked away. Legs, he muttered. He found the buyer sitting at a table in Harrow's cafeteria. Thought you might be taking the day off, Danny said, putting the case down. The buyer shook his head sadly. I got nobody, so what's Christmas to me? His eyes traveled over the case, poking, testing, looking for flaws. What was in it? Nothing. What's the matter? I don't pay enough. I tell you, there wasn't nothing in it. Okay, so somebody travels with an empty suitcase. Okay, he held up three fingers. For Christ's sake, Skimpy, give me a nickel. You got somebody else, why don't he give you a nickel? It's like I say, the case was empty. Gimpy kicked at the case disparagingly. It's all nicked up and kind of dirty looking. He sniffed suspiciously. How come it stink like that? Mexican leather? So, am I in the leather business? Gimpy shrugged. Could be. He pulled out a roll of bills and peeled off three ones, dropping them on the table behind the napkin dispenser. You want? Okay, Danny picked up the money. You see George the Greek, he asked. Where you been? He got busted 2 days ago. Oh, that's bad. Danny walked out. Now where can I score, he thought. George the Greek had lasted so long, Danny thought of him as permanent. It was good age, too, and no short counts. Danny went up to 103rd and Broadway. Nobody in Harrow, nobody in the automat. Yeah, he snarled, all the pushers off on the nod someplace. What they care about anybody else, so long as they get it in the vein. What they care about a sick junkie. Wiped his nose with one finger, looking around furtively. There was no one he knew in the 23rd Street Thompsons. Jesus, he thought, where is everybody? He clutched his coat collar together with one hand, looking up and down the street. There's Joey from Brooklyn. I'd know that hat anywhere. Joey, hey, Joey. Joey was walking away with his back to Danny. He turned around. His face was sunken, skull-like. The gray eyes glittered under a greasy gray felt hat. Joey was sniffing at regular intervals. His eyes were watering. No use asking him, Danny thought. They looked at each other with the hatred of disappointment. Guess you heard about George the Greek, Danny said. Yeah, I heard. You been up to 103rd? Yeah, I just came from there. Nobody around. Nobody around any place, Joey said. I can't even score for goofballs. Well, Merry Christmas, Joey. See ya. Yeah, see ya. Danny was walking fast. He had remembered a croaker on 18th Street. Of course, the croaker had told him not to come back. Still, it was worth trying. Brownstone house with a card in the window. P.H. Zuniga, M.D. Danny rang the bell. He heard slow steps. The door opened and the doctor looked at Danny with bloodshot brown eyes. He said nothing. He just leaned there looking at Danny. Goddamn alcoholic, Danny thought. He smiled. Merry Christmas, Doctor. The doctor did not reply. You remember me, Doctor. Danny tried to edge past the doctor into the house. I'm sorry to trouble you on Christmas Day, but I've suffered another attack. Attack? Yes, facial neuralgia. Danny twisted one side of his face into a horrible grimace. The doctor recoiled slightly, and Danny pushed into the dark hallway. Better shut the door, you'll be catching cold, he said jovially, shoving the door shut. The doctor looked at him, his face focusing visibly. I can't give you a prescription, he said. But doctor, this is a legitimate condition, an emergency, you understand. No prescription impossible, it's against the law. You took an oath, doctor, I'm in agony. Daddy's voice shot up to a hysterical grating whine. The doctor winced and passed a hand over his forehead. Let me think. I can give you 1/4 grain tablet. That's all I have in the house. But doctor, 1/4 g. The doctor stopped him. If your condition is legitimate, you will not need more. If it isn't, I don't want anything to do with you. Wait right here. The doctor weaved down the hall, leaving a wake of alcoholic breath. He came back and dropped a tablet into Danny's hand. Danny wrapped the tablet in a piece of paper and tucked it away. There is no charge. The doctor put his hand on the doorknob. And now, my dear, but doctor, can't you inject the medication? No, you will obtain longer relief than using orally. Please not to return. The doctor opened the door. Well, this will take the edge off, and I still have money to put down on a room, Danny thought. Danny put down $2 on a $6-a-week room in the West 40s, where he knew the landlord. He bolted the door and put his spoon, needle, and dropper on a table by the bed. He dropped the tablet in the spoon and covered it with a dropper full of water. He held a match under the spoon until the tablet dissolved. He tore a strip of paper, wet it, and wrapped it around the end of the dropper, fitting the needle over the wet paper to make an airtight connection. He dropped the piece of lint from his pocket into the spoon and sucked the liquid into the dropper through the needle, holding the needle in the lint to take up the last drop. Danny's hands trembled with excitement and his breath was quick. With a shot in front of him, his defenses gave way and junk sickness flooded his body. His legs began to twitch and ache. Cramps stirred in his stomach. Tears ran down his face from his smarting, burning eyes. He wrapped a handkerchief around his right arm, holding the end in his teeth. He tucked the handkerchief in and began rubbing his arm to bring out a vein. Guess I can hit that one, he thought, running one finger along a vein. He picked up the dropper in his left hand. Danny heard a groan from the next room. He frowned with annoyance. Another groan. He could not help listening. He walked across the room, the dropper in his hand, and inclined his ear to the wall. The groans were coming at regular intervals, a horrible, inhuman sound pushed out from the stomach. Danny listened for a full minute. He returned to the bed and sat down. Why don't someone call a doctor, he thought indignantly. It's a bring down. He straightened his arm and poised the needle. He tilted his head, listening again. Oh, for Christ's sake. He tore off the handkerchief and placed the dropper in a water glass, which he hid behind the wastebasket. He stepped into the hall and knocked on the door of the next room. There was no answer. The groans continued. Danny tried the door. It was open. The shade was up and the room was full of light. He'd expected an old person somehow, but the man on the bed was very young, 18 or 20, fully clothed and doubled up with his hands clasped across his stomach. What's wrong, kid? Danny asked. The boy looked at him, his eyes blank with pain. Finally, he got out one word. Kidneys. Kidney stones, Danny smiled. I don't mean it's funny, kid. It's just I've faked it so many times, never saw the real thing before. I'll call an ambulance. The boy bit his lip. Won't come. Doctors won't come. The boy hid his face in the pillow. Danny nodded. They figure it's just another junkie throwing a winding for a shot. But your case is legit. Maybe if I went to the hospital and explained things, no, I guess that wouldn't be so good. Danny trailed off. Suddenly he put out his thin, dirty hand and touched the boy's shoulder. I'm sorry, kid. You wait. I'll fix you up. He went back to his room and got the dropper and returned to the boy's room. Roll up your sleeve, kid. The boy fumbled his coat sleeve with a weak hand. That's okay. I'll get it. Danny undid the shirt button at the wrist and pushed the shirt and coat up, barring a thin brown forearm. Danny hesitated, looking at the dropper. Sweat ran down his nose. The boy was looking up at him. Danny shoved the needle in the boy's forearm and watched the liquid drain into the flesh. He straightened up. The boy's face began to relax. He sat up and smiled. Say, that stuff really works, he said. You a doctor, mister? No, kid. The boy lay down, stretching. I feel real sleepy. Didn't sleep all last night. His eyes were closing. Danny walked across the room and pulled the shade down. He went back to his room and closed the door without locking it. He sat on the bed, looking at the empty dropper. It was getting dark outside. Danny's body ached for junk, but it was a dull ache now, dull and hopeless. Suddenly a warm flood pulsed through his veins and broke in his head like a thousand golden speedballs. For Christ's sake, Danny thought, I must have scored for the immaculate fix. The vegetable serenity of junk settled in his tissues. His face went slack and peaceful, and his head fell forward. Danny the car wiper was on the nod.
Pictures on the radio. It doesn't ruin your vision like a TV show.
Practice yoga on the ground or get up and walk around.
You can do it when you're listening to the radio. You can shave or wash your hair while our show is on the air. You can cook up a fondue and we'd still be coming through. You can stay in bed and you'll find we don't care at all, just as long as you keep listening to the radio. So tell them what you look like on the radio. If they never see you, then they'll never know.
Doesn't matter if you act neat,
cause they'll never know exactly
what you look like when they listen to the radio.
Oh, triple Zed.
Even in the initial stages of contact between European Christians and Native Indian people, the stage was set for ethnocentrism, and the attitude towards the Indians was that of Christian superiority. The Indians were read a proclamation in Spanish, which they had no hope of understanding. They had no hope of understanding the death sentence they were being read. And it went something like this. We ask and require you to acknowledge the church as the ruler and superior of the whole world, and the high priest called Pope, and in his name the King of Spain as lords of this land. If you submit, we shall receive you in all love and charity, and shall leave you, your wives and children, and your lands free without servitude. But if you do not submit, we shall powerfully enter into your country, and shall make war against you. We shall take you and your wives and your children, and shall make slaves of them, and we shall shall do you all the harm and damage we can. 2,000 years ago, we were all tribal, 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 tribal. Came the missionaries with the fucking Bible, 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 Bible. 1492 began the termination, nation, nation, nation. The Holocaust ever in the end, nations, nations.
Dick Cheney's in Halliburton, heaven. Since September 11, there's carnage and cash on tap from Afghanistan and Iran. A cornucopia of gangster dystopia. The aroma of roasted Iraqi children creates a joy seldom hidden, seldom hidden, seldom hidden. And it's Christmas every day, Christmas every day, for those bloodthirsty freaks in the White House. Oh, it's Christmas every day, Christmas every day, for those murdering freaks in the White House. Unwrap that delightful cluster bomb. Hundreds of splinters fall all around. They rip and shred that tender brown flesh. Oh, it's just too delicious. And it's all smiles in the White House. Oh, it's Christmas every day, Christmas every day, for those murdering freaks in the White House. Oh, it's Christmas every day, Christmas every day, for those bloodthirsty freaks in the White House. Now, you may think it's all too suspicious. Some invisible dude in a cave could create such happiness. But where there's a will, some neocons and oil. No amount of courage is too much trouble or toil. And don't dare cry conspiracy. It's just Christmas, you see. Oh, it's Christmas every day, Christmas every day, for those bloodthirsty freaks in the White House. Oh, it's Christmas every day, Christmas every day, for those murdering freaks in the White House.
Radio station.
I've traveled far to find a better land, to find a better home. I can just call my own. I can just call my own. I fled with my life on a minefield track. Now I have nothing but the shirt on my back. Under cover of night, pulled away from the shore, the harbor of lights. I can't see anymore. I
can't see anymore. So I write to you with sadness, my friend, 'cause now this is Christmas, Christmas Island again. Now this is Christmas, Christmas Island again. My journey's been long, so long I've lost time. Sometimes I do feel I'm losing my mind. By ocean and land, they lock down all the doors, patrol down the fences. I've seen this before, I've seen this before. So I write to you with sadness, my friend, 'cause now this is Christmas, Christmas Island again. Now this is Christmas, Christmas Island again. Ministers fight and gamble on lies. I'm dying inside. I pray for my time. When I'm a free man to go where I may, or I stay in. Turn me away. So I write to you with sadness, my friend, 'cause now this is Christmas, Christmas Island again. Now this is Christmas, Christmas Island again.
Tonight, here is the one thing that everybody seems to be missing. The extreme left on this planet is actively calling for violence. Calling for violence. Calling for violence. The extreme left calling for violence.
I said, keep your legs crossed!
Police Body cam footage captures the moment seven officers storm the Miami unit. Inside, they find 19-year-old Charlie Robertson unconscious and critically ill, slumped on a bed. They lift him up, try to wake the teen, force up his mattress. Then, as his legs can be seen flopping to the floor, they laugh. Hours later, the highly awarded Bond University student would be dead. He'd overdosed on a toxic concoction of GHB and cocaine. The police officers have told the court they thought he was sleeping or drunk.
You're off. God's sake.
Only breathing.
He's sitting
snoring.
Yeah, but he's
passed
out.
None of them called an ambulance. An hour after busting in, the rapid action and patrol officers walked out.
They left our boy to die. They simply walked away from him and left him to die.
Doctors have told a coroner's inquest if paramedics had been called, his chance of surviving was almost 100%.
Fucking want me? Here I am, you pig fuck!
Lie face down on the ground, spread
no,
your arms
you
and legs.
No, you lie face down on the ground and spread your arms and legs.
Don't come any closer. Down on your knees.
Fuck you, man. What are you gonna do?
Pull the fucking trigger then. On your knees now.
You get on your knees and suck my motherfucking dick while you down there.
If we want total fucking freedom, we have to abolish the police. There, I said it. Like any big statement, I will provide you very fucking fine evidence of this truism to back up my fucking claim. So let's start with 1. Cops don't like freedom. Case in point, in so-called Canada, some rich white dudes wrote a piece of paper called the Charter of Rights and Freedoms. Supposedly, when rich white dudes write on pieces of paper, it's supposed to be the law of the land. Except when it's not. For example, the motherfucking charter says you have the right of freedom of expression. Like when you take a photo of your drunk-ass friend passed out with chunks of puke on his face and you post it on Crackbook. Or, like when you see some badass graffiti and you Instagram that shit. Which is what Montreal's Jennifer Pollock did when she saw this killer piece of street art in her hood. The head of the graffiti is Ian Lafreniere, and he's the head media pick for the Montreal Popo. And in the graffiti, Homeslide has a little tiny hole in his head and looks like he's bleeding. Who knows, maybe he popped a zip. Anyway, after the photo got around on Facebook, the pics rolled up in Jennifer's crib and threw her ass in jail.
Two cups of tea, one for you and one for me. Drown out the pain from polluted acid rain and flaming gasoline until we're clean. Two dead police, one for hope and one for peace. Watching government lies leak into your empty eyes from the TV. History. Three dead police, one for thanks and two for please. In every single town, every officer is down. All dead police, all dead police.
On an application for county support. I practice this like a sport. Met Donald Trump and he froze up. Standing on his belly yelling, pimps down, hoes up. Stop trying to front off, break our ass a clump off. We gon' stop the world, make y'all motherfuckers jump off. Watch me chunk off Molotovs and bricks. Mr. Bailiff, you can put that in the transcripts. Is you a have or you a have not, huh? When you run out of bullets, grab rocks or throw ham hocks. Cause the dough to the pen slam locks. It don't open when your fam knocks, unless you rich and have stocks. I eat my dinner out of spam box. They carry cash off in glad locks. This is for them babies with them empty plates. This is that shit that the popos hate.
This is that shit that the popos hate. When we talking to our folks and they love to relate. Shaking in the boots when we start the bus. They ain't scared of rap music, they scared of us. This is that shit that the popos hate. When we talking to our folks and they love to relate. Shaking in the boots when we start the bus. They ain't scared of rap music, they scared of us.
Life in the game, showing no remorse and no shame. Rock share both things due to the dealing of cocaine. In my brain, I know it's wrong, but a job would take too long. I'm robbing niggas at gunpoint just to keep my PG&E on. And we own cognac and narcotics to keep from going neurotic. Pushing the product, powder is solid, we got it. I shot at my partner, dropped the chopper in his lap. This shit is a trap, promoting the black on black. A systematic attack on me and my race. Face it, find a way out this cycle before I'm 6 feet deep in the dirt. The consequence of putting in work, these money and hoes and clothes ain't worth it. Even though my pockets is hurting, for certain, it's gonna be curtains if I keep on curb serving. As you get older, you just realize, man, it's human nature to have things. But I gotta get out the game. Dope beans shouting my name, temptation calling. Will I sacrifice my life in order to be balling? It's all in time.
This is that shit that the popos hate. When we talking to our folks and they love to relate. Shaking in the boots when we start the fuss. They ain't scared of rap music, they scared of us. This is that shit that the popos hate. When we talking to our folks and they love to relate. Shaking in the boots when we start the fuss. They ain't scared of rap music, they scared of us.
Indicate that the best protection from radioactive fallout is a
4ZZZ subscription.
Yet less than 5% of our population has one.
Do you? Will you and your loved ones be protected from nuclear fallout and falling debris?
For your family's protection from nuclear fallout,
invest in 4ZZZ subscription today.
It's time for confidence. It's time for mobility. It's time for Petrolius. Try Petrolius today and gain the personal sense of freedom that will allow you to take on and conquer the world. Side effects may include but are not limited to nausea, anxiety, and inflated sense of confidence, hostility, rage, migraine, headaches, personal distress, financial distress, family distress, fuzzy thinking, fuzzy math, fuzzy dice, asthma, coughing, lung cancer, skin lesions, air pollution, water pollution, smog, soot, human rights disasters, global warming, forest destruction, unemployment, and public outrage. Petrolius is also highly addictive and can cause tunnel vision, greed, irritability, deception, distortion, distraction, corruption, extreme paranoia, terrorism, aggressiveness, and irrational behavior. May even cause death. Please go to freedomfromoil.org.
Andrew. Sandy. Ivan.
Katrina. Since 1954, the World Meteorological Organization has been naming hurricanes and tropical storms. But what did these people do to deserve having their names attached to this? As climate change continues to create more frequent and devastating storms, we propose a new naming system. One that names extreme storms after policymakers who deny climate change. We propose something like this.
Senator Marco Rubio is expected to pound the eastern seaboard sometime early tonight. Windows are being boarded up and grocery stores are virtually empty as Marco Rubio threatens everything in his path.
Now, Michelle Bachmann is on the way, folks, and specifically the eye of Michelle Bachmann will be hitting Florida in a few hours.
Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann is incredibly dangerous. If you value your life, please seek shelter from Michelle Bachmann.
Senator David Vitter is turning out to be one of the hugest and costliest disasters in American history.
David Vitter is literally lifting boats out of the water and tossing them onto the land.
In New Orleans, the levees that were built to stop Hurricane Colin Peterson have been obliterated.
I'm here at the North Pier where Speaker John Boehner is really doing a number on this coastline. John Boehner is just destroying this town.
Local animal shelters are under pressure as thousands of animals have been displaced or killed by Governor Rick Perry.
We can't even take care of the animals that we've rescued, and so some of them are going to have to be put down, all because of Rick Perry.
We've been here for 2 days because of Congressman Paul Ryan. I have friends still out there. It's scary because I have no idea what Paul Ryan could be doing to them right now.
Senator James Inhofe has turned out to be a worst-case scenario come true. And now an entire nation is wondering how they'll ever recover from the disaster that is James Inhofe.
If you agree that it's time for a naming system that names extreme storms caused by climate change after policymakers who deny climate change, sign the petition at climatenamechange.org before John Boehner blows your entire city away.
Global warming, global warming. You know what it is.
Global warming, global warming, global warming.
Enough. Know what it is, everything we do too big, acting like it's nothing. You know what it is, everything we do too big. The canary's out the motherfucking coal mine. For the dead on the Google Map landmark. Sound like an old story, like it was in Sanskrit. They lived on chicken pizza, so the land went bankrupt. They weren't ready for the drought, so they all scattered. And when Cortez showed up, it was a quick slaughter. Water retains heat, Gulf Stream regulates. Warm motions cause violent storms, you can call it change. Frozen manatees in St. Sebastian. Doves falling on the land of Michelangelo. Of course, unstable weather's killing off the animals. If that ain't bad enough, throw in a BP oil spill. You know what it is, everything we do too big, acting like it's nothing. You know what it is, everything we do too big. When I was 8 in Maine, we used to play in snow forts. When I go home in winter, I can't make a snowball. It's gotten warmer there, they got possums now. The bugs are going north, Halifax got Lyme disease now. Bark beetles ain't dying, cause it barely freezes. Maybe someday the kids will ask their parents what a bee is. I don't know who to thank, my parents or the state. But we're just hostages in the Copenhagen train wreck. You know what it is, everything we do too big. Like it's nothing. You know what it is. Everything we do too big. Acting like it's nothing. The roads are made of petrol as well as the plastic you drink from. The tires you move on. Even fertilizers that feed you are made from petroleum. And we're supposed to keep on fighting over what's left while we got the sun, the wind, and helium 3 on the moon. Man, you're a greedy beast who kills by the power of dreams. Civilization, just a pyramid scheme. Peace to Ronald Wright. I'm not a militant, I'm just a litigant. Class action suit against the earth, and I don't know who to file it with. I'm not a militant, I'm just a litigant. Class action suit against the earth, and I don't know who to file it with. I'm not a militant, I'm just a litigant. Class action suit against the earth, and I don't know who to file it with. Yeah, this is going out to everyone born after 1989. You are members of Generation Hot. You will watch the earth burn all around you. You will watch the ecosystem be thrown so far out of whack. Animal extinctions will no longer even be newsworthy. We're past the point of no return. We were given the choice to ride or die. We chose both, and I'm out.
Says one last thing, because Australia Day is coming up, and I'm super excited. I hate the Australian flag. I know you're shocked. I really hate the Australian flag, not just because of what it represents historically, like colonialism and genocide and whatever, but more importantly, I hate any flag in the world that looks like someone designed it in Microsoft Word. People's flags, and you think, all right, someone put some effort into that. Our flag, clearly, some convict sat down on Google Images for about 30 seconds, pasted a Union Jack and a Southern Cross together. The only thing missing is just like Australian big green and gold word art at the bottom. Tie the whole thing together.
They do this thing like every single Australia Day, right? They have the official celebration of Parliament House. And near the beginning, they find some Aboriginal people to do like some welcome ceremony or something. And then they say this thing that like makes my stomach turn. They're looking in the camera and the presenter always goes,
"And we thank our Indigenous Australians for the special role that they play in our history." And it makes me want to vomit. It's horrible, right? Because, alright, if you're going to take the Holocaust of someone else's civilization and turn that into a national holiday and teach your kids that that's a happy time of the year, that's fine, I'm not going to judge you. I'm lying, I hate you. But the people you destroy, like, why do you expect them to celebrate with you? Like, why do you make them be part of the celebration? That's sick, that's so cold-hearted. That's psychologically, that's a sick thing to do, that's crazy. That's so crazy, that's like ringing up a bunch of Jewish people and going, "Hey guys,
we're just going to throw a party for Adolf Hitler's birthday. Whether you guys would like to come along and do a little song and dance to kick everything off. Is that cool with you? Are you interested in that?"
Because you're an important part of the story.
Hello? Hung up, I don't know. Everyone's so politically correct now. Yeah. I know, I'm getting deported soon, I know. Getting the sense. I mean, I have the passport and the citizenship papers, but I get the feeling they're just going to ask for them back. They're just going to ring up and go, "Hey buddy, we've been watching the YouTube videos and way too much of this movie. Too much back chat."
KiteLine is a weekly 30-minute radio program focusing on issues in the prison system. You'll hear news along with stories from prisoners and former prisoners, as well as their loved ones. You'll learn what prison is, how it functions, and how it impacts all of us.
Behind the prison walls, a message is called a kite. Whispered words, a note passed hand to hand, a request submitted to the guards for medical care. Illicit or not, sending a kite means trusting that other people will bear it farther along until it reaches its destination. Here on KiteLine, we hope to share these words across the prison walls.
You can hear us on the Channel Zero Network and find out more at kitelineradio.noblogs.org.
Australians all in us rejoice, for we are young and free. You can stick your national anthem up your patriotic butts. All this compulsory flag flying sticks in my guts. It's best when no one gives a rat's. for the silly, stupid song, and our footy players mumble as the camera pans along. Let's keep the great tradition that's Australian to the core of thinking that the jerks who like anthems are a bore. If you want jingoism, why keep Cuppy and the Yanks? Ain't it enough we follow them when we send in the tanks? The only people calling for the flyer or the flag, and who'd sing the national anthem at the opening of a bag, are the ones that scream the loudest if you suggest that we should sacrifice self-interest for the broad community. Their precious fellow Aussies aren't so valuable right then. How come it's patriotic to salute a flag, but when it comes to equal sharing of our nation's wealth, don't ask. That's where love of country can kiss their fat rich ass. It's time John Howard realized the decision isn't his to call someone an Australian when the nation's like it is. The Anzacs died for you and me, you right-wing stinking tools, not for the Liberal Party and exclusive private schools.
Check out Subversion 1312 online, autonomousactionradio.com, facebook.com/subanarchyshow.
Anarchy_show on Twitter. And on the 4ZZZ website, 4ZZZFM.org.au.
That violence can be even applied to the natural environment because we rely upon the natural environment for our survival. But inanimate objects, especially those that are man-made and are used to destroy life, I don't think you can be violent too. I think it's a lot of times more violent to allow them to exist.